All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. Bruce Jenkins joins us. Bruce, how you doing today?
Doing well. Looking forward to yet another Giants-Dodger games. I think it's Bueller and Bill Lasky today.
Well, it's funny. I said, as we look through the window of Oracle Park, what do we see? We see an opener against Walker Bueller. People have written about this, they've talked about it, and they could have tweaked this rotation to set it up where they don't have this going on. And I don't know, did they miss the boat on this, Bruce?
Well, I don't know. I kind of hesitate to question what Gabe and Farhan are doing at any point this season. But, you know, the standard move was, well, you're going to call up somebody from the minors, a guy who's a starter and maybe his time has come to take a look. Now, to throw him right into a Giants-Dodger game for his first start, that's a little bit much. But they don't have guys like that right now. And Beattie's out, and it's just kind of the way things go. And the Dodgers are in the same boat. You know, so many teams are. It's more and more common. I'm going to let it ride. I'm not going to jump all over the Giants for this. It's unfortunate, but they certainly aren't the only team going through this.
Well, the lefties did a good job. I mean, there were, you know, Quintana had the balk, and Sammy Long got knocked around a little bit, and Garcia gave up the sacrifice fly and the double to Pollock. But essentially, they kind of held the Dodgers in check with the bullpen yesterday, and I guess you bring out the same crowd today. But the trick is to score some runs off Bueller, because this guy, Bruce, he's been terrific. I can't say enough about him.
Oh yeah, he's absolutely for real. I mean, the scary thing about the Dodgers is that, you know, Kershaw's starting a rehab assignment. He can come back at any time. It'll probably be a couple weeks, but you know, when you get Kershaw and Bueller and Urias in there and Scherzer, I mean, you know, I think you almost have to assume those guys are going to be taking them down the stretch, and that's a big load. You know, the Giants are going to have to match up to that, which they can do. But right now, they're really relying on just two guys.
Yeah, and I say the veterans have got to pick it up. You know, since the All-Star break, Crawford, I think, has one home run, and Posey was in a 10-for-59 slide, and Belt, unfortunately, hasn't really – well, he killed the Brewers, but other than that, he has, you know, not done the Brandon Belt thing often enough. Longoria's right. Got to get it together. But for me, LaStella as well, those are the guys that have to make it happen.
There's no question. I mean – some of the things we were enjoying all season, like, you know, Crawford's an MVP candidate, which he absolutely, I think, was. You can probably use the past tense there.
Yeah.
You know, Posey's hitting 330, but now he wasn't even hitting 300 a couple of days ago. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it sort of follows. I think a lot of people would have predicted that the team's age would show up late in the season, because there was a lot of doubt about really all those guys coming into the season. But, you know, then again, these guys are winners, and they're ready for a fight. So, again, it's something we can watch, and, you know, I would hesitate to predict it one way or the other with those guys.
Well, now scoreboard watching becomes part of September for us. You know, you always had, well, we got six more with the Dodgers or six with the Padres or the Diamondbacks, and, you know, if you're in contention with those teams. But this is one after today, 25 games. And, look, the Dodgers get the Cardinals for four. Cardinals knock Burns around today, and they're charging for this wild card. The Dodgers get the Reds, even though the Reds had trouble with the Tigers and Casey Mize today. Then you get the Padres in there. So the Dodgers have to deal with the Reds, the Brewers, the Cardinals. I think in a crazy way, maybe the Giants have an upper hand in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, what's really going to be key, the Giants have 10 more games against the Padres.
Mm.
That's just crazy. I mean, and no more with the Dodgers. And, you know, watching the Padres last night, you know, Tatis and Machado hit a couple homers that looked like about 1,000 feet combined. And you know, they've still got a lot of spirit, a lot of spark down there. They're fighting for the wild card. That's all they can get, and that'd be a great thing if they did get it. The Reds are slipping a little bit, but yeah, I mean, but you're right. I mean, it's all about. There's so many things going on. The wild card race is incredible, and you know, unfortunately for the Giants, they're right in the middle of that.
Yeah, plus Atlanta comes in here, And Atlanta has not traveled well, so to speak, on their West Coast tour. They got knocked around in Colorado. The Dodgers beat them as well. And then Atlanta's coming in here. That's going to be a key series. Talk about this one. That's a key series for me.
Yeah. And speak about not traveling well. The Rockies, who the Giants get next in Colorado, they're 45-23 at home. That's mind blowing. And they're 18-50. They do not travel well on the road.
No, they don't.
But they're not traveling. The Giants get them in at Coors, and you know the way Blackman and Trevor Story are hitting, and CJ Krohn, he had 11 homers last month. You know, they could be a big load up there right away for the Giants.
Yeah, six games in Colorado, we'll see. And the Padres, look, Padres are not hitting a lot. They've got Paddock today. Musgrove looks like the best thing they've got going pitching wise, but Snell had a good game. Maybe the Padres will hang into this thing. And we talk about the MVP race, and they talk about Bryce Harper, who's carried the Phillies, and they're only two back of Atlanta, and they're in the mix as well. But I think Tatis is the MVP of this league. To watch what this guy does on a day-to-day basis, he can carry the Padres.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, he was an obvious choice for most of the season until he went down, I guess, for the third time with his shoulder. You think, well, he's just not going to make it, you know, to the finish line. But he looks great right now, and you're right. I think if they make the wild card, it'll be because people came through in a big way for them. And he's going to be the guy even more than Machado who leaves him. He's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
And it just – so there you go.
Yeah, he is. He is. Yeah. To see what he does on a daily basis, plus he's banged up in doing it. And if the Padres can hang on to this thing, this is going to be an interesting September, because if you don't win the division, you get one of these other teams. And, you know, you and I have talked about it. You get into a one-game playoff, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Arenado hits a home run, Votto hits a home run, or Harper does, and you got trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wacky. It's all Dodgers, Giants, and all of a sudden, here comes a wild card game, and the Giants are playing the Cardinals. And they got to figure out Goldschmidt, you know.
Exactly, and Wainwright or something like that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you and I have done the shows probably 20 years, and I think when we first started, part of the reason was we talked about the Hall of Fame a lot, and we always talked about induction weekend and all that. Well, we've got Induction Wednesday coming up. This week for Larry Walker and Jeter and Ted Simmons and Marvin Miller. So let me get some of your thoughts about this class of new Hall of Famers coming in.
Well, Marvin Miller is way overdue, to say the least. I was in the room when the Hall of Fame, I was part of the voting veterans committee that voted in La Russa and Bobby Cox and Joe Torre, a great round for managers, and Marvin Miller was voted down, and I'll never forget the disdain among the many former players in the room toward Marvin Miller, as much as he helped them as a candidate. So, and there were some executives in the room too that felt very strongly about it. But he changed the way, as far as players' rights and standing up for themselves and earning what they deserve. He's absolutely the man there. Totally deserves it. Larry Walker was a textbook ball player. I don't think I voted for him early on, but his cause kind of won me over because he did everything really, really well. Wasn't too often in the big spotlight, but if you watched highlight reels of him, you realized that whatever it was, he was at the top of the game there. Ted Simmons is a little bit surprising, although I'd love Ted Simmons. You talk about a badass hitter from both sides of the plate, and just his whole attitude. He had a way about him, an incredible level of confidence, and really, really a joy to watch hit. And not a terrible catcher. I mean, he caught a lot of great pitchers, and managed to hold that job wherever he was. So that was. I'm glad to see him go in. I think it's a little bit surprising, but as far as when you're measuring him up against guys like Posey and Sal Perez and Yadier Molina that are coming into play in the future, the fact that Simmons is in will probably help them. You know, they're different kinds of players, but they have a huge defensive edge over Simmons, and they're good hitters too. And of course, Jeter, you know, that's just an automatic. You don't even think twice about that.
Mm. Boy, tell me more about Marvin Miller. Why would players be unhappy with him after everything he did to change the game. And the biggest thing is the reserve clause. I mean, let's face it, plus arbitration. Yeah. But the reserve clause went back, you know, to 1870. And it's been, you know, challenged in courts and all the time. And he was the one who took it on and changed it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't know who voted what, except for your own vote, of course. I just know that it wasn't terribly close, and there were some executives in there that might have swung it. I don't think it was a full-on barrage by the ex-players against Marvin Miller, but the executives, who I can still see their faces, were almost got red in the face talking about Marvin Miller.
Well, interesting. Yeah. He's not a manager. He's not a general manager. He's not an owner. But as Bill Madden said yesterday to me, you can't write the history of Major League Baseball without including him and his influence.
Yeah, that's right. And when you compare him against guys like Donald Fehr and Ray Grebe and guys were involved, and those guys were just stiffs compared to Marvin Miller. They really were. Just good Lord.
That's a good one. All right. Yankees in Boston. And I know, God, if I say it, it's going to be a four-hour game on ESPN, you know, three times a week when they get those two. But they actually could meet in this one-game playoff. And, you know, it brings back the Aaron Boone home run and the David Ortiz hit and Ron Guidry's game. Yeah. And then back to 49, David Halberstam's wonderful book about, you know, the Red Sox won up with two to go and the Yankees won them both. How about that?
Yeah. And, of course, the Bucky Dent game, that was the one of the all-time classic one-game showdowns with incredible rosters on both sides for those teams. It would come at the A's expense if that happens. But, I mean, the A's they're getting crushed again by Toronto today. They've taken a bunch of hits this season. I don't know if they're going to be able to get back, whether it comes to catching Houston or probably more likely, you know, getting in that wild card race because, Seattle's in there now in that race, and the A's are four games back right now. And the Red Sox, you know, they have this just a stifling COVID problem day after day, and they keep winning. It's Verdugo and Devers, and then Devers and Verdugo, and they've got a lot of things. They're overcoming a lot. Let's put it that way. And I would absolutely love to see the Yanks and the Red Sox in a 6-hour, nine-inning game.
really, if that happens, the networks will just go crazy.
The ratings will be great. Absolutely.
Look, you could have Yankees, Red Sox, and then you could have Giants, Dodgers. I mean,
this is
setting up. Let's face it. This is setting up for, you know, round one, if assuming everyone gets through the wild card, and that's a big assumption. But we are setting up for Giants, Dodgers, and if you can win the division, you get it at home. But if you don't, you got to go through the wild card. But we're setting up for Giants, Dodgers. You know, it's coming.
Oh, I know. And what could be better than that? I mean, last night was really kind of a very routine, dull game on the surface. But because it was Dodgers-Giants, there was just this tension to it. And the fans were way into it. Great crowd out there, which was great to see. And it's just it just has that magic to it. And the amazing thing to me, Marty, is that they've never lost that magic from the day both teams got here in 58. And it's, as you well know, before that, for decades. I mean, it's just it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, no, it goes back, you're talking in the 1800s. And, really? It goes back that far. And Yankee Red Sox really started around, when Babe Ruth was sold, in 1920. Yeah. But the Yankee Red Sox rivalry really didn't happen until the 40s, until the Red Sox became good and took on the Yankees in the late 40s.
Yeah, that was that Ted Williams always regretted having to go against that team and getting only one shot at the World Series. But it's the kind of thing that makes baseball so great. And if you want to delve into the history of it, I know you and I love to do this, but every time I do any kind of historical research, I'm just delighted and blown away and refreshed and whatever else you want to say, rewarded by what you learn about what came before.
Yeah, I love it. It's the connects generations. It's what makes baseball different from every other sport. Every other sport.
Yeah, my dad used to tell me about watching Wee Willie Schirdel in St. Louis. I'm thinking, oh God, I got to look this guy up. You know?
Really? Yeah. It's amazing. It's really amazing, and that's the separates baseball from every other sport. I mean, you can't. You know, Greg Pop asked me the other day. Did Norm Van Brocklin back up Bob Waterfield? Or was Waterfield the quarterback of the Rams? He's thinking of Trey Lance and Garoppolo and all that stuff. And, you know, I couldn't answer the question. I mean, and I think I know a little bit about, you know, sports history and stuff like that. But who can remember that?
Yeah, well, I remember that because I'm from L.A. and I've studied the Rams a little bit. I mean, they each had the role at one time, but they could never figure it out. And there's, you know, two really primetime quarterbacks going at it. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right, though. I mean, it's just not the same, and you know, to say the least, you know, rivalries, they just don't sustain themselves in football, not even close to baseball. In the basketball, you get the Lakers and Celtics, but you know, there were a lot of years where that wasn't happening at all. But any time the Giants played the Dodgers in whatever, mm-hmm. whether it's here or there. It's a special deal.
Yeah, and we're setting up for it. You know, we're setting up for that first round. I can see that coming. Hey, a couple of historical things. September 5th, of course, you know, it's Labor Day, and you want to be leading your division on Labor Day and all that stuff. And here we go down the stretch. But it's 1955, 54. Hank Aaron breaks his ankle sliding at the third base. Now, he's a rookie at this point. And he's hitting .280, 13 homers, 69 RBIs, and he got the job because Bobby Thompson at spring training broke his ankle sliding at the third base. But I forgot that Aaron broke his ankle and his rookie year was cut short.
Yeah, he got quite a bit of it in, but yeah, absolutely. That was a wacky sequence of events. I mean, you know, Bobby Thompson, of course, hit the home run and heard around the world, and he got to be a pretty big deal with the Braves. He was going to hit cleanup for the Braves in 54. And all of a sudden in spring training, before he can even get out of spring training exhibition against the Yankees, he breaks his ankle, and Henry Aaron's been looming, you know, a star in the Negro Leagues and still pretty raw. He had a cross-handed grip for a while, if you can even imagine that, putting your left hand on top of the right as a right-handed hitter. I mean, oh my God, but he was on his way, and he started the next day, and he started opening day, and that started, you know, by 55 he was in right field and not left, that's where Bobby Thompson was playing, and then the rest was history. But and of course we well know that the Giants came close to having Henry Aaron and Mays on the same team there. That's a story Aaron loved to tell. I'm sure you know it, but this is actually his quote. I had the Giants contract in my hand, but the Braves offered me $50 a month more. That's right. The only thing that kept me, Willie Mays and me, from being teammates. $50.
Wow. Can you imagine that? Wow.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's like Barry Bonds going to ASU instead of going with the Giants over a small amount of money on the bonus. I remember that.
Yes.
Well, Bobby Thompson came to the Braves from the Giants for Johnny Antonelli in 1954, and the rest of that is history because the Giants obviously won the World Series and swept Cleveland. Antonelli was 21-7.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bobby Thompson was traded. Wasn't he traded to the Giants for Red Shanedienst?
From the Braves?
Yeah.
Could be.
I think he was in 1957.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and Red Shanedienst goes to the Braves and is a huge part of two World Series teams. And Bobby Thompson was, you know, he was on his way out there. They traded him to the Cubs. But yeah, all the interconnections here are pretty wild.
Very good. Good knowledge. All right. Tom Seaver wins his 20th. Now it's 1969, and of course the Mets are going to just wipe up the Chicago Cubs in September, and of course they win the World Series. But he's the first Met to win 20, and he won it on this date in September 5th of 69.
Yeah, I mean you have to remember how horrible the Mets were and what a big deal it was that somebody won 20. I mean they had a lot of guys who lost 20 in the 60s. Roger Craig did it twice. They had 1 year they had two guys lose 20, Al Jackson and Jack Fisher. all of a sudden Seaver comes up and it's like, oh, this is a new day for the Mets coming out of USC. And yeah, you mentioned the Cubs. They had a great race in 69, and the Cubs had, you know, that just a tremendous team, one of their best ever. And I think people still didn't quite believe in the Mets because they'd been so horrible. They kept thinking about Jimmy Pearsall running around the bases backward, which he actually did on a home run.
Yes.
Or Marv Thornberry pulling up at third but then losing his triple because he forgot to touch first and second.
That's the Mets.
These are the Mets. So, I mean, they needed some proof that they weren't a novelty. And really, Seaver, the Mets people tell you that everything changed. It was a game in July when he pitched against the Cubs. The Cubs were up by four games, and they're at Shea, and Seaver retired the first 25 guys. Wow. And he gave up a single to Jimmy Qualls, but they went at 4-0, and it's like, hey, you know, the Mets are for real here. Look at this guy out there.
Boy, Bill Madden wrote a great biography of Seaver.
Oh, yeah. Really, really, really good. There's so much great stuff in there. The thing I always think about Seaver, you know, today, you know, as we know, pitchers are, you know, they're coddled. And if anybody pitches 200 innings, it's actually kind of a miracle. And you work him up, you know, you work up innings year by year. Well, he came out of SC. He only pitched 1 year in the minors. And by the way, his manager was Solly Hemus. What a thing. Seriously. And he goes 210 innings, and he breaks in with the Mets. And for the next 11 years, he goes at least 250 innings.
Wow.
Except for the 1 year he went 236. I mean, come on now. Forget the coddling, okay? This guy was ready to go 250 innings a year, like forever. And over that time, in 11 years, he's had 180 complete games. I mean, this is how far we've come in the realm of the way pitchers are viewed. But still a great game, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Dominic Leone will throw it to four batters today.
You know, it's a toss-up, really, between Dominic and Seaver for me in terms of just...
Oh, boy. Great Sunday conversation. Very good. Look forward to talking
Marty.
To you next week. They're in Wrigley Field with the Cubs, who all of a sudden are winning on a big winning streak at home. So
a lot
of baseball coming up. A lot of baseball. All right. Have
Matt
a good
Duffy
Sunday.
Had two homers today, Marty. Already.
Ooh. Matt Duffy.
Matt
how about that?
Got two homers already.
Matt Duffy.
Today.
First time he's ever done it, he's going back to Little League or something like that.
Anyway, we're greatly looking forward to next week, and thanks again, as always.
Okay, thanks, Bruce. All right.
You bet.
Boy, what a conversation. My goodness. All right, we have our Original Joe's contest going today. You can tweet in at Baseball Marty the score of today's game, Giants and Dodgers, and win dinner for two at Original Joe's. That is in North Beach, Westlake, or West Portal. And Raf breaks all ties randomly, so he's involved in this too. But at Baseball Marty, you can tweet it in. And I know we've got a lot of guesses today. I wonder what the score will be today. When Bill comes back, we're going to chat with him and Kerry, see what they think the score will be today. All right, more coming up. Paul White is next, national baseball writer. Put things in perspective for us right after this.